قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا كيل لهم منكم آمنوا الصاصوا قالوا ونؤمن كما آمن الصفحاء ألا إنهم الصفا ولكن لا يعلمون صدق الله العظيم.
And when it is said unto them, believe as the people believe, they say, shall we believe as the foolish believe? Beware, they indeed are the foolish, but they know not. The truth, to know it and to accept it. There are two parts. Everybody is aware of the truth. The haqq, the truth, the reality is such a thing that every heart accepts the haqq, whose haqq is light and batil is darkness. So light is such a thing that nobody can reject the light. Nobody. The light itself radiates and shows itself. So the truth, everybody is aware of the truth, knows the truth. Everybody is aware of the truth for sure. But the difficulty arises in accepting the truth. That's where the situation goes wrong. Everybody's aware, but we don't accept. And the reasons for not accepting? In detail, the Quran in the beginning explains very clearly, simply, that to read the Quran, Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, orders to implement them in the way that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. Why? Because this is an excuse that we don't understand, or we couldn't understand. In the beginning of the Quran, Allah says, you are aware, you understand, but it's hard for you to accept. Why is it hard for you to accept? Because it's nafs, the biggest obstacle for us, which forces us not to accept. Our base desires, they overwhelm us, they overtake us, nifaq, and they take a person towards hypocrisy, nifaq, and makes a person munafiq. So these base desires, as they are big and swell up, they take a person towards nifaq, hypocrisy. So then it's difficult for that person to accept. The Holy Prophet ﷺ came and he ﷺ presented the haqq, truth. Who was not aware, even those who were overtaken by their nafs and their desires, they all knew. And they knew he was sadiq and ameen, trustworthy, honest. His sallallahu alaihi wasallam's every single habit and character point they were aware of. But when the haqq was presented, then they rejected. And these are the base desires, which do not allow. So the Quran tells us the haqq, the truth, all of its orders are haqq. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's deen that he brought, his lifestyle, his tariqah, his methodology, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's honorable, blessed life, all of it from A to Z is haqq. But the clash comes when we don't accept. Those who don't accept, again, they are falling prey to their base desires. They are drowned and they're fallen into the trap of their desires. Who don't accept? Did the Yahud not know the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, the Yahud, they had ilm, they had the knowledge. In the Torah, which they had, which they possessed, all of the signs were present regards the coming of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the big scholars of the Yahud were present, living. So it didn't even happen that, for example, they had people who believed. They had people who accepted, they couldn't reject. It's not just that everybody rejected, that not everybody rejected in Makkah. From Makkah came Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, they all came from there. So in the same way, Madinatul Munawwara, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina Sharif, the people there knew, they were aware. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, if we mention that the Prophet will come, and then Tawrat gives the signs, and the good tidings and the good news, and if all the signs are present in the Kitab and in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then how can a person reject? Yes? So they had to accept. They had to accept. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, and the big scholars, ulama of the Yahud, they did mashwara, they consulted, they came to see the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were aware at that time, Abu Yasir was a big scholar, and he was the brother of the head, the chief. And there was a big chief of the Yahud, of the Jews. And he came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he came and saw, he saw the signs. And after seeing the signs, he accepted that this is truth. He went back. And he announced to his tribe that, brothers, the person who we were waiting for, the signs we were awaiting, looking for, he has come. He is present, hadha Nabi. He is here, who we were waiting for. He has come. He is that Nabi, that Prophet who we were waiting for. Don't oppose him. Just come to his obedience. But his brother was the chief. He was the Sardar. How could he accept? So all of the tribe followed him, the chief. There were people like that at that time as well. And clearly when his brother saying, why didn't they believe? Their base desires, their nafs, had overtaken them. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu has narrated hadith in Bayhaqi that one Jew scholar, he came to the holy presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he came, then Surah Yusuf was being recited by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he asked, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this surah, who gave you the education, the knowledge of this? Where did you learn this surah? Rasulullah said, Allah Ta'ala gave me the knowledge. And he was surprised. And that Yahudi immediately, he went back to the Jews. And when he went and said, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran that he recites is such a kitab, we realize just like our Torah, that Musa alayhi salam, it was revealed to Musa alayhi salam. And he collected a whole group of people, an assembly of people, and he came and presented him. They presented themselves to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they all arrived there, subhanallah, then they all went and embraced and accepted Islam. Subhanallah. So when they heard Surah Yusuf, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited it, then they all accepted Islam. So this is where they disregarded their base desires and accepted the haq, the truth. So in the same way, Abdullah bin Hamad in Musnad Ahmad, there's a riwayah, a narration, that a person came, and he came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was present, and he said, who is that prophet who claims that I am a prophet? I want to ask him some questions. And in that time, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived, came, and he said, is it you who wahi comes to and revelation comes to? If it comes to you, recite to me that verse. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he recited the verse, then he suddenly stood and said, Wallah, that this type of kalam came to Musa alaihi wasallam. I accept you are the true prophet and I accept Islam. In the same way, Zayd, he also accepted Islam. In other words, they were aware in those hearts where Allah Ta'ala put the passion of acceptance, were seeking the truth. They accept. There's no nifaq, hypocrisy in them. They accept. They translate, transform that to acceptance. Abdullah bin Salam, he was a big scholar of the Torah, and he was also a chief of the Yahud, of the Jews. And he was from the progeny of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, and his name wasn't Abdullah bin Salam. His name was something else. This name the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to him, assigned to him, Abdullah bin Salam. When he came to Islam, that's a unique event. When he came, very big scholar of the Jews, very big scholar. And when he came, soon as he came, he didn't ask, he didn't get a chance to ask or see, he didn't get a chance to speak. Himself, he came and immediately said, "Falam raita." He said, "Subhanallah." He said, "What can I say further than this? Beyond this, this is a shining, glowing face. This itself is testifying that he is the Prophet of Allah. Beyond this, what sign can I ask from you? What sign can there be? Your face itself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the biggest sign for me that you are the Prophet of Allah. Subhanallah. So how can the truth hide? Tell me. How can the truth be concealed?" The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a great famous event of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the chief of the Yahud, and the Yahud, they accepted, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come to a room, and then I will. He said, "I will ask about him to you. What do you know? What knowledge do you have? What do you accept?" And then we'll see that how they accept your words. We'll see that they know the truth, but they don't accept. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took Abdullah bin Salam to a room, and all the Yahud scholars were there, and he gave them da'wah, gave them invitation. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That Abdullah bin Salam, you've brought iman upon me, belief in me, that you believe in me as the true prophet, and you have yaqeen in me. So will you listen to him if he believes?" They said, "Yo, Abdullah bin Salam, never will he come into Islam. How can he bring iman into Islam?" And the Rasulullah said, "What if, for example, if he does?" He said, "Maybe, but never can he be a Muslim. Never. We can't accept that he can be a Muslim. He is our chief, our biggest scholar. How can it be that he comes into Islam?" And we respect him. They started to praise him and glorify him. He's our chief and major scholar, alim. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ibn Salam, come out." So Ibn Salam, when he came out of the room, and he said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." Subhanallah. The Yahud, and he addressed them, the Jews. He said, "Oh Jews, fear Allah, you know that this is the Prophet of Allah. He has come with the truth, with the haqq. Accept him, believe in him." Immediately they went against him. The person they were just praising, Abdullah bin Salam, that he's our chief and he's our elder, pious, they started to rebuke him. They didn't want to believe. Maymun Yabin, he was from amongst the Yahud. He was a wealthy Jew. And his situation was just like Abdullah bin Salam. He came to visit, alhamdulillah, as soon as he saw Rasulullah, he recited Kalima Shahada, affirmation of faith. So the point is this, that in reality, if we look at the truth, there's a difference between knowing and accepting. We know this verse of the Quran that we are reciting, reading. Tell me, can any person reject the truth of this verse? What a clear verse of the Quran, clear message Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Who can reject this? Who can reject this verse? The deen is a straight path. Islam is straight path. Is that straight path that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam defined, the Sharia and the Sunnah? That's the straight path, deen. Those who know this and accept this will be successful. They'll be the Kamil believers who follow the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Quran is telling us this in the beginning, so that in the future there's no quarrel, no confusion. With ease, strengthen your aqeedah, strengthen your foundation, correct your foundation, and then you can do amal on the rest of the Quran. But if we think ourselves, how many people accept these verses and understand these verses? From here we can make a decision on nifaq, hypocrisy or belief. We can make the decision. If these verses are absorbing in our hearts and we accept this point, alhamdulillah, that this is truth that the Quran is telling us clearly, plain simple truth it's telling us. If we accept that, and if our lifestyle, our ideology, if it's different, and we obey all of the signs of nifaq that the Quran is explaining, the Quran is telling us, if we see those points of nifaq, hypocrisy inside us, is there anybody who then accepts? The Quran is asking. That if somebody accepts today, then he arrives to the station of iman. So is the Quran not telling us this? But, we know, but why don't we accept? Because of our base desires, nafsani desires. What is it that stops us from having full, complete iman? The biggest point is the dunya, the world, worldly things. The reason for not accepting is, what will the people say? What will dunya say? What will the comments be? This is the biggest root cause. The biggest root cause of us obeying our desires is what? What is the root cause? What will people say? Love for the dunya. Concern for the world. Fear of the dunya. Cowardly. Being a coward. Being cowards. Everything's inside. We know we're wrong. We should do this. But what will the people say? The fear of the dunya, the opposition from people, what will people we know say? That's it. From this, the path that people have taken, yes, the hikmah, they say, this is wisdom, we have to act according to wisdom, go with the times, practice with the times, go along with the dunya, keep the desires happy, keep the people happy, do a little bit of practice, we'll get dunya, we'll get deen as well. This is a deen, a separate religion that people have devised and are following and practicing today. And to be satisfied on this ideology, to satisfy this ideology-wise, we have made traditions and cultures so that in the shadow, the shade of these customs, we can convince ourselves that we are honest and truthful. In days, in years, we commemorate those traditions and customs, and in those gatherings, we get certificates and stamps and seals that we're lovers of Rasulullah ﷺ, and we propagate the deen through that. This has no link with Islam. Islam is a straightforward, plain, simple deen. Straightforward. So there are two groupings today we will see around us. And this grouping is spread around the world today. Totally spread out in society. This is what has spread out in society. The Quran is explaining, giving the sign about this group. May Allah Ta'ala forgive. Today we have time, open our eyes, brothers. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. The Quran has told us that in this generation you're in, can you not see this? What the Quran is saying? That those people, today, if somebody practices Islam, and until Qiyamah, there will be people, the population is low, the number is low, no problem. But it cannot be wiped away. Why cannot it be wiped away? Because Quran is present, alhamdulillah. So the people are practicing deen will be there. Who can reject a verse of the Quran? Can anybody eliminate the Quran? No, the Quran is present, and it always will be. So it cannot be wiped away, eliminated. Allahu Akbar. So this, following the desires, following nafs, and the person who's scared of the world, of people, the person who's afraid of people, this group will spread. This grouping will spread. And this is the sign of nifaq. The worst, this is the sign of the worst of eras, the worst of generation in which Allah's adab and punishments will descend. Look what a big punishment is in front of us. This year there's no Hajj. There's no Hajj. If we look at the pictures of Haramain Sharifain in the older days, then apart from human beings, we can see nothing else. Nothing else. Today, if we look at Haramain, apart from the tiles, we cannot see anything else. The walls and the tiles. Allah is supreme. Allah doesn't want drama. Allah wants deen. We say it's due to the disease. It's not due to the disease that this happened. Allah is supreme, great. He knows. He's khabir, basir, all hearing, knowing, seeing. He knows that how much do we practice the deen. He knows. Yeah, does the Quran speak the truth? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. The Allah Ta'ala says, if a person, if we see a person practicing the deen, Islam, and his life is in accordance to the Sharia and the Sunnah, tell me, what does our society say? Isn't it this, what the words of this verses say? Of this verses? Don't people say this? كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. These are people are jahil. They're foolish. They're backward. Shall we become like them? Shall we also have an attire like them? An appearance like them? Shall we make our faces like them? Shall we destroy ourselves? Are we going to destroy ourselves in the world? Shall we also suppress ourselves? Who are they? What sort of deen is this that they're practicing? What new deen have they brought? They're disrespecting us. They say this, that due to these people practicing, people, they disrespect us. And they give the hint with their eyes. And they say, to please the others, they go to the extremes. To the extremes they go to please the people they want to. The Quran says, don't do this. The Quran is haq, the truth. Can you not see the Kaaba has been taken away from you? Can you not see that your masjids have been closed? Can you not see, did we not see how our Ramadan passed? Where's that Quran gone? The Quran belongs to Allah. Where has gone the Quran? Where the Hufaz reciting the Quran? Where's that, the gatherings and the assemblies, our greatest assembly in Islam, which is Hajj, Arafah, Mina. And why is there silence there now? Why is there nobody there? Is this not the sign for this? Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. We say that this deen is the people they were practicing, they're foolish. The deen that I gave Allah says, my Nabi, my sent, my Habib, my beloved, who I gave him the title Habib, my Mahbub, the head, the chief of the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His deen, you call it the deen of the foolish people? You call those people who practice his deen foolish? Ask you a question for justice. Is this not the case today in our society? Today when we read this verse, I ask you a question. How many people accept these points that I am mentioning? A lot of people say, no, is there some other tafsir? Let me look at that. Many other people will slip away because they'll say, this is not the deen. We don't accept this. We don't accept what you're saying, they'll say. They say, even the Quran, they don't accept. Forgive me for saying, even sitting in front of the Quran, they won't accept the Quran. When you open the Quran, put the Quran from them, they will not accept these verses. The Holy Prophet says, hadith that we are reading, he won't accept those hadith. They won't accept, they'll be silent. Forget this. What's this deen? I've seen this. It's not the case. It's not that strict. What are you saying? It's not that strict, they'll say. The Quran's translation is being understood here. And we see that the for example, if a family is practicing, a person practicing, everyone boycotts them. They don't invite them to weddings. They don't invite them to functions. They don't like them. Even if you go, they look at you. They look down at you. So that some monkeys come. What monkeys and animals have come to the gathering? What type of people have just gatecrashed our function conference? Why did they come here? But a beautiful nur comes from those great people. The Quran says, you call them foolish and you say that, should we become like the believers, the foolish believe? Look how they're eating. They're eating like animals. Astaghfirullah. One Muslim's words, I tell you the truth. The person's sitting and eating according to Sharia and Sunnah. Alhamdulillah. They say, why are you eating like animals? You don't even have manners how to eat. Look at them, he's licking his fingers. So for these people, will the Kaaba open up? Will Baytullah open up? Will Harameen Sharifin open up for these people? Just because we've kept names as Muslim names? We think the Harameen open. I'm not saying this. The Quran is addressing us. These words of the Quran in front of us. They are telling us, Subhanallah. What conditions and states, Subhanallah. Those people will stand on the deen, firm on the deen. What will be their hal? What will be their situation? Will Allah leave them? No. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that time he explained everything, announced, qala qala Rasulullah sallam,
al-ibadah fil haraji ka hajrat al-bayliya.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a time comes, generation comes, when people will consider you foolish, useless, mad, crazy. You'll be in one home, but the people in your home, your family won't let you stay alive. They'll mock you, criticize you, beat you, hit you. If you, alhamdulillah, according to Islam, you practice practically. Forget that. Forget the people, the strangers. I'm talking about our own people. Allah Ta'ala hasn't got any link here in these verses with the ghair people. I'm talking about Muslims, our own ummah, families. Why do we accuse people who don't have faith? Forget that. They have no link with these verses. They don't tell us not to practice. They don't say anything. It's us ourselves. Ourselves, we are wrong. Look in our homes, in our families. Ourselves, we are naked. Muslims in homes, the women, they drink alcohol. Pakistan, I'm telling you. They dance in the night. Father, children, all together. And when Allah's adab descends, then they open up Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin, know in your hearts, Allah's given you iman. Do tawbah, repent. I swear by Allah, do tawbah, Allah will forgive everything. Allah Ta'ala, Surah Yasin won't benefit us. No recitation, no wazifa, no repetition of prayer. One action, even today, Allah Ta'ala has given us a chance, opportunity via the Quran. Allah has given us a lesson. Do tawbah, repent. Repent, do tawbah. True, honest tawbah. If then you can then prepare for a nice, clean death. Beautiful death. Today, subhanAllah, a phone call came to me. Such people are here in this country, in the world. One woman, she passed away from Abu Halaka, from one of our brothers, his mother, respected mother, and it was a sister, her mother, and she was a pious woman. Everyone, mashallah, pious, they have tasbih in their hands, they are pious, mashallah, proud. But she wasn't like that. Who was she? We say, like this verse is that we call them foolish. This generation era defines them as foolish. And I tell you what a great person she was. When a person leaves the world, that's when we realize, that was this person foolish or a person of wisdom? The person who follows sunnah, was he a person of wisdom, intellect, or foolish? That's when we realize when he dies and leaves the world. The person we thought and considered foolish, see her mouth, her death, how she departed this world. Subhanallah. Ideal death. The Quran tafsir she implemented. Subhanallah, the hatta yaqeen, the come towards Allah's dhikr and obedience and remembrance until death comes, and hatta, until death comes, until death comes to your doorstep, till that time, keep on remembering Allah, it was morning time today, morning time, and Allah's fadl, Allah's karam, my shaykh sadqa, we are not capable, this is all Allah's karam, grace, generosity, his blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah paak, he gives us his grace, generosity, blessings upon us sinners, and then the morning gives us the ability, after fajr we do dhikr, this is all Allah's fadl, all Allah's karam, all Allah's mercy, all the sadqa, the dust, the blessings from my shaykh's shoes, subhanallah, I don't consider that we are capable, I don't consider that Allah can give me such a great reward, nor am I capable, nor do I consider myself capable. Subhanallah. Great. The morning dhikr is glorious, something different. It's so unique. It's amazing, fantastic. So massive reward and glory. And ghafil, wretched people sleep at that time. How many hadith? I can tell you, there's a hadith in Tirmidhi. The noor, the light in the morning. What a great favor. That's why I say the Hazrat Sahib's slippers and feet and his shoes, due to the blessings we do dhikr in the morning. Otherwise the question doesn't arise that I'm capable, we can do dhikr in the morning. It's due to his sadaqah and his blessings. The human being, he has 360 joints, this hadith tells us, in the body. Our joints, 360. Allah Ta'ala says every joint we have to give sadaqah, charity, to be saved. That may we not do this action, may this not fail. We have a ajeeb, unique machinery within us. Allah Ta'ala has given us protection for this machinery, for the joints. May I be sacrificed for the Holy Prophet and for his every action. What a great sunnah. What great sunnahs of Rasulullah. What protection for his tariqah, his ideology, his practice, his mindset, his beautiful sunnah. Rasulullah said there are 360 joints in our body, and on every joint they have to give sadaqah. If you don't give sadaqah, charity, compensation, then balai can come. And destruction can come, issues can come. From the morning you'll be given protection if you implement one sunnah. Soon as you implement Fajr Salah, start to do dhikr of Allah. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Me, that how can me and you get the ability and permission from Allah after Fajr, straight away do the dhikr of Allah, and then the sun rises with the blessings of Allah, the rays of the sun, they come to us on the ground, and when then the birds are singing, you know, you say the birds are going choo choo choo, the birds, it's not choo choo, they're doing dhikr of Allah, they're doing dhikr of Allah, they're not singing, they're doing dhikr of Allah. The Quran says that the birds are remembering me. Allah says they have a halaka, an assembly, and in the heavens there's an assembly. Read the Quran. Allah says that verse, you know, Safat, Allah Ta'ala says that the birds, they float in the air and they do dhikr of Allah in an assembly, in a gathering in the morning, they're flying together doing dhikr. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. So this is not singing and the bird sitting on the branches. That time the sun is rising, the rays of the sun, when they fall on a person. If that person at that time is doing dhikr of Allah, and with the dhikr of Allah, he is grateful to Allah. He says, oh Allah, I'm so grateful, my Mawla, my Lord, after praying Salah, you allowed me to remember you. What a great deed you've enabled me to do. The whole universe is doing at that time, and I'm also included at the same time. The birds and animals, water, fish, and leaves, everything. So remember you, Allah, I'm not the ghafil, that I didn't leave my mattress, I didn't leave my bed, I didn't pray salah and jump in the bed, rather I remembered you. Subhanallah, what a great favor of Allah, the friends of Allah, how he guides us. This is ihdina siratul mustaqim. Where does this come? How did I get this deen? How? Why did this become a habit in my life? Rather, alhamdulillah, this is the Hazrat Sahib's blessings from his feet and his shoes. I sat in his honorable presence and he showed me ihdina siratal mustaqim. So a person does dhikr of Allah after doing dhikr of Allah. What great rewards. I'm telling you, one reward for dhikr after Fajr. And then the person prays two rak'ah salah. Two rak'ah salah is stated when he does this action. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces the 360, his joints in his body, all of them, the sadaqah he has given, he has paid and implemented the charity for each joint in his body. Subhanallah. What sicknesses were to come, and Allah Ta'ala turns away the minor disease or calamity. There was to be an accident. An accident occurs, but a little bit of a shadow of the car, a bit of a scratch, a big event, a calamity, an accident was to occur. But a very small illness or sickness affects that person. But the reality of it was massive. But Allah saves. Allah protects. You know, we say, sufaha, foolish people, the Quran says. These people, they call themselves intellectual, modernists, advanced. They think of brains. And they think that they are going with the times, flying with the times. They say, we are successful. Who are these foolish people? They said, the Quran says, that who are these people calling foolish? Who are they calling foolish? What is their crime? Astaghfirullah. That they're following the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sunnah and Sharia, and they're calling them foolish. Na'uzu billah, astaghfirullah. I was talking about that sister, mashallah. And which way did she leave the world? There was a habit, mashallah, alhamdulillah, to do dhikr in the morning. Due to your barakah, you sit. Allah Ta'ala has created people who do the dhikr of Allah, men and women who sit. Their life has become this, their habit, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So she was following her habit, she had love with the dhikr in the morning. She was from her salikin, the followers, the devotees. Look at her mouth. She had love for doing dhikr. She was lying down on her bed, the sister, and she did not want to leave dhikr. She put the phone on her chest and she was following the dhikr, including the dhikr. Say subhanallah, subhanallah, included in the gathering. She joined the dhikr. She's lying down. It's time of dhikr. Tell me. Her relative phoned and said that she was lying down in the morning after Fajr. The morning time she didn't leave her dhikr. Ma'amulat, she must have had pain. She was ill. She was lying down. But on her chest was the telephone. She could hear and she was doing dhikr with us. She joined into the gram. She was reciting the kalimat. Subhanallah. Then the sun rose. It came out. It came out, the sun. And the rays came out. And when the dhikr stopped, then her soul was removed and she went and returned to Allah. Hasbunallah, she said, what a mouth. She said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Subhanallah walhamd, subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim, subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illa Allah, wallahu akbar, Allahu akbar, subhanallah, Allahu akbar. So we, what do we call these people? Oh, foolish people. Oh, backward woman. Why was she doing this, wasting her time in the dunya? Women advancing, they've got careers and jobs, they're earning money and professions. And so many words people say to the utter, mal, wealth. They say that these people are foolish. The Quran says, Allahu Akbar, nay. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ. Become like these people, they say. Astaghfirullah, they degrade the deen people. They say, we don't want an Islam like this, they say. The people who spread disorder, fitna. When these words are uttered, when their style of life is like this, when they degrade the deen, when their lifestyle is like this to degrade deen, from their mouths, from their sentences, you can hear these foolish sentences. And when they hear the verses that I'm reciting and the explanation, they don't like it. They will never embrace this deen. They will never absorb their heart. They will never accept these hadiths. So the Prophet has given a great rule. Those people who we, na'udhu billah, say they're foolish. Astaghfirullah. They say this is not Islam. This whole dunya is joking against you. If you've got the Sharia attire and the world speaks against you when you follow the sunnah, your household members, they swear at you when you follow the sunnah. In society, they mock you like 1 in 100. Forget 1 in 100. I've said more. That's a high percentage, 1%. Forget 1 in 100. In 1,000, maybe you'll see 1 person according to Sharia and sunnah. That's 0.1%. So 1400 years ago, Rasulullah said, do not tremble, do not shake, do not fear, do not be afraid of the dunya. Just stand firm. Don't worry. Nothing to be worried about. Don't be a coward. Rather, subhanAllah, in your ibadah, your worship, that you have become such a fantastic superstar now, your hal is such that in my time, subhanAllah, Rasulullah now turns back and gives the reference of his age, of his era, subhanAllah, that in my era, when these conditions arose in Makkah, when people used to pester us and joke against us and mock us, didn't let us pray salah, didn't let my sahaba, my companions follow my tariqah. They stopped everything of ours. They disliked everything of ours. Yani, they isolated us, persecuted us, isolated us. Nobody can know. Somebody's been burnt in fire. Somebody's been beaten to death. Somebody's been pulled by the ropes. Somebody's being hanged by the tree branches. Why? You pray salah, you obey your Nabi, you follow his Sharia. We were persecuted. Rasulullah said, in this thing is my age. And in that time, when your ibadah will be akin, similar to my generation, subhanAllah, the people, those people, that they'll be fed up with you. Hijra ilayya, that those people, my companions, left their city, their country, their locality, they left their homes, they came to me, but they never left my deen, they never left me. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. They left everything and they came to me. Hijrat alayya. So today you, O Muslim, you're the same in this day and age now, this modern age, you are standing firm on the deen, you're following my sunnah and sharia, then you are comparable to my companions. You've come to me, you've done hijrah to me, you've accepted. What a great, great piece of news. Great piece of news. Don't fall into deception. Remember, this deen is for the sake of Allah. Don't be two-faced. Don't do half of this, half of that. Your son, the first son's like this, the second son's like this, the third child's like this. Don't play games. Don't change them, fluctuate them. Take the deen, take the whole deen, 100%. And if people call you foolish, when they call you foolish and mock you, and call you jahil, illiterate, backward, and that's too hard, you can't do this, then consider you are successful. Allah's Nabi has given you good news that your hijrah, your migration to me has been accepted. You have migrated to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are now in the shade of my mercy. Subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to follow the Sharia and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to live our lives according to the verses of the Quranic verses. Ameen wa akhru dawana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.
سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وزوجاته من عباده وما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصل تسليما دائما أبدا غزيلا 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 يا الله تقني فضل وكرم سبحانه وتعالى تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے خاص فضل و کرم سے میرے مولا تو ہم پہ رحم فرما ہم پہ کرم فرما میرے مولا ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ بچپن سے لے کے اب تک جو گناہ کیے میرے مولا معاف فرما دے یا اللہ صغیرہ کبیرہ یا اللہ جو ہم جانتے ہیں جو ہم جانتے ہیں جو نہیں جانتے میرے اللہ ہم کو تو معاف فرما دے
Ya Allah, jahe hai pata hai, iska hame nahi pata, Allah maaf farma de. Ya Kareem, jisko humne guna samjha, wo guna hai mere maula, wo bhi maaf farma de. Ya Allah, tere ilm mein sab kuch maujood hai, ya Kareem, tu apna fazl o karam farma de. Ya Allah, is mehfil ke sadqe se, is majlis ke sadqe se mere maula, tu hum sab ko bakhsh de mere maula. Jo azad bhi is majlis mein shamil hue mere maula, ya Allah, hum sab gunahon ko bakhsh de, ya Allah. ان سب کی معافیوں کو قبول فرما دے میرے اللہ. یا اللہ ہمیں اہدن الصراط المستقیم عطا فرما دے. یا اللہ ہمیں صراط المستقیم عطا فرما دے. یا اللہ صراط مستقیم والا دین عطا فرما دے. یا کریم بھلائی اس میں ہے. یا اللہ بھلائی دین و دنیا کی اس میں ہے میرے مولا. باقی دوسرے بس دوسری چیزوں میں سب کچھ میرے مولا بربادی ہے. دنیا بھی برباد ہے اور آخرت بھی برباد ہے. ساری بے سکونی اور سکونی ہے میرے مولا. یا اللہ نفس و شیطان کے چنگل سے ہمیں نکال دے میرے مولا. یا اللہ جو خوف اور ڈر ہے ہمارے پر دین پہ چلنے کا میرے مولا, یا وہ خوف اور ڈر ہمارے سینے سے نکال دے میرے مولا. یا اللہ دین پہ ہم چلا, دین ہم پہ آسان فرما دے, ہدایت ہم پہ آسان فرما دے. یا اللہ چلنا ہم پہ آسان فرما دے. یا اللہ تیرے دین پہ چل کے ہمیں خوشی محسوس ہو میرے مولا, راحت محسوس ہو, فرحت محسوس ہو. جب بھی میں نو کام کروں یا اللہ, جب بھی ہم نیک کام کریں تو میرے مولا راحت و خوشی محسوس ہو. یا اللہ جب برائی کریں, تیری نافرمانی کریں تو میرے مولا ہمارے دلوں پہ وہ بوجھ بن جائے تاکہ ہم اس کو ترک کر سکیں اور اس تک استغفار کر سکیں اور توبہ کر سکیں میرے مولا. یا اللہ بناوٹی دنیا سے ہمیں بچا لے. یا اللہ ہمیں دنیا دار نہ بنا, دین دار بنا دے. ہمارے بچوں کو دین دار بنا دے. یا اللہ نفاق نکال دے. یا اللہ دو رخ نکال دے. یا اللہ دو چالیں نکال دے. یا اللہ ادھر ادھر کا معاملہ نکال دے. بس ایک ہی طرف میرے مولا ہمارا رخ پھیر دے, اور رخ تو ان سب ایک ہی ہے, وہ میرے مولا اس رات تو مستقیم کا ہو میرا. یہ سب شیطانی دھوکے جو ہمارے راستے میں, دنیا بھی لے لو, آخرت بھی لے لو, فلاں بھی لے لو, یہ بھی لے لو, اے میرے مولا سب یہ ساری کیفیات حالات ہمارے دل سے نکال دے میرے مولا. یا اللہ اس خاتون کا آج اتنا بڑا میرے مولا اس نے ذکر کے ساتھ تم نے اس کو اپنے پاس بلایا, یا کریم کتنی شان والی وہ عورت ہوئی میرے مولا تو تیرا نام لیتا ہوا تیرے پاس پہنچی میرے مولا. یا اللہ آج کا سارا اس مجلس کا ثواب میرے مولا ہم اس کے ہدیہ کرتے ہیں, ہدیہ پیش کرتے ہیں, پوری جماعت ہماری اس کو میرا اپنا ذکر کا ہدیہ پیش کرتے ہیں میرے مولا. اس کی روح پہ اس کو بخشتے ہیں میرے مولا, اس کے درجات کو بلند فرمایا اللہ. اس خاندان سے رشتے داروں میں میرا اسی قسم کے آدمی عورتیں پیدا فرما, تو تیری دین پہ اس طرح قربان ہوں, تو تیری ذکر پہ اتنی محبت رکھنے والے ہوں میرے مولا. یا اللہ ہم سب کے گھروں میں ایسی عورتیں پیدا فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں کو بدل لے میرے مولا, ہمارے گھر میں ایسی خواتین پیدا فرما دے میرے مولا جو اس قسم کے ذکر سے تیرے دین سے محبت رکھنے والی ہیں میرے مولا. یا کریم یا کریم, سب باہر اسی کے ساتھ ہیں, ساری رونقیں تیرے دین کے ساتھ ہیں میرے مولا. جس گھر سے دین اٹھ جائے اس گھر سے تمام رونقیں نکل جاتی ہیں. جس دل سے تیرا دین نکل جائے اس دل سے تمام رونقیں نکل جاتی ہیں میرے مولا. یا اللہ تو اپنا فضل فرما اور کرم فرما, ہمیں دین پہ چلنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا پکا و سچا عاشق بنا, آپ کی سنت کا عاشق بنا میرے مولا. کہ اللہ زبان اور ہمارے فعل کے اندر میرے مولا مطابقت پیدا فرما دے, نفاق کرنا پیدا فرما. یا اللہ حاسدوں سے بچا, یا اللہ دشمنوں سے بچا, جادوگروں سے بچا, جلنے والوں سے بچا. یا اللہ ایسا ساتھ دے جو تجھ سے محبت کرنے والے ہوں. یا اللہ ہمیں ان سے محبت عطا فرما جو تجھ سے محبت کرنے والے ہیں. صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینۃ فرشہ وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, وسلام علی المرسلین, والحمد للہ رب العالمین.